Well, you know, we're this close to a land bridge out of here over the frozen Great Lakes. But then you end up in Michigan. I know. I was just thinking that too. Well, what do you know? Okay.
Live from Phoenix, Arizona to Kansas That's City, good. Missouri, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's funny man and Veep star Matt Walsh, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who, if he knew what a Bitcoin was, would feel pretty bad right now. It's Michael Feldman.
Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, John's playing through the pain there. A little sick, huh? You sick, man?
I'm not feeling too good.
No. Well, you don't sound so good. What do you got there?
Yeah, it's cold.
Oh, what are your symptoms? Give me those symptoms.
Yeah, upper respiratory congestion.
Okay. Because then I get it. It's not that I'm not sympathetic. If you start telling me those, then I said, hey, I got that. Before you know it, I'm sick.
Well, we don't want that to happen.
Oh, no. Well, I hope you feel better now. Yeah. How long you had it, though?
3 or 2.5 days?
Well, you're in bad shape, man. Time's going backwards for you. 3 or 2.5 days. That's a bad sign right there. Are you drinking plenty of fluid?
Yeah.
Not those kind. No. What are you drinking?
Water.
You're drinking water, but I mean at home, what are you drinking?
Water.
Yeah. You're taking it with water instead of straight up? Yo, that's good cure for it there. Okay. Two hats on the bedpost. Oh, never mind. It's a long story. It is a cure, though. Well, it's not a cure, but you get so drunk, you don't know you got it. It's the old two hats on the bedpost. Okay. Oh, never mind. Let's go back to the weather. What about that weather, huh? What a winter it's been. I'm so glad I didn't fix that leaky faucet. You know, finally paid off. A decade, I think, I didn't fix the faucet. It finally paid off, because that trickle saved my pipes. So, there you go. I knew it would work out. Experts say the Weather Channel naming storms has prolonged the winter. Titan. We're up to Titan now. Winter storm, Titan. If this one's Titan, I'm Uranus. Oh, that would be the next one, actually, because Uranus would follow Titan. Winter storm Uranus. Pummeling the east. I'll tell you, I'm staying indoors for winter storm Uranus. That's all I can say. Not running out of that one. Okay, in other news, Arizona's Jan Brewer couldn't have surprised me more if she ran off with her sorority sister. Pretty good one there. Now, Arizona is gay-friendly. Texas is gay marriage-friendly. Must be the dawning of the age of Aquarius. I was going to sing it, but I've got a little throat problem. Phoenix is now a possibility for the Republican convention now that it's log cabin Republican friendly. Okay, not everyone knows that reference, but references are available for 10 cents in coin from the Merkel Press. After the Olympics kind of window dressing, now comes the real Russian Winter Games, the Crimean Games. Let's see now, Clinton document release. It's taken all this time to get the stains out of the Clinton documents. And believe me, Hillary tried everything. Well, you get a female CEO at GM, and what do you get? Recalls with an apology. Very nice. A nice little handwritten note on a World Wildlife Fund card there. Sorry about your ignition. From the CEO. That's really cool. Tea Party, 5 years old, and you know how they can be. Chris Christie's lane to the Republican nomination closed. Paula Deen on the March 10th cover of Colored People magazine. Well, that's a step in the right direction. NASA discovers 4 new planets which might support life. Unfortunately, Earth not among them. They can now do three-parent in vitro embryos. Did you see that? That's a good way to spread the genetic blame around. Your side, her side, or his side. Only two senators came to Seth Rogen's Alzheimer's presentation. The rest spaced it out entirely. They were out running, knocked up for some reason. They didn't know why. Well, the British spy agency catches millions of Yahoo chat users with their Monty Pythons out. Okay. Latest thing now, wash and wearable tech. So that's, see, wearable tech. And now they have wash and wearable tech. Okay. I like the wearable low tech, you know. I don't want to wear computers necessarily, but wearable low tech, like umbrella hats. Wearable low tech. Or beer hats, you know, with the one on either side so you can switch off if you have to. Switch engines. Spring shoes, shoes with springs on them, wearable low tech. That's what I'm saying. Eyeglass suspenders. I need to kickstart me some wearable tech. That's what I need to do. There, now do I sound now?
Totally hip.
Totally hip now.
Yeah.
Okay, kickstart me some wearable tech. Mormons say believers do not get their own planets in the afterlife, so I guess it's Episcopalian for me. Because they do. Episcopalians get their own planets in the afterlife. Not widely known. Europe's Ryanair says they will fly to the U.S. for $14, but passengers must be in urns. Juan Pablo. Okay, so the Brewers will have Hank the dog and the six guys running around the field dressed like sausages. And that's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. You were very helpful. Now let's go to the critique part of the opening monologue. No, let's not. I can't take it. Matt Walsh is on with us. I'm so glad to have him on. He's on Veep. You've seen him as Matt Walsh on Veep. No, who's that? Mike McClintock, vice presidential aide on Veep. But you've seen him in a lot of things. You see, The Hangover, he was in that. In fact, we have a little clip from that. I hope to play with him. He's in Los Angeles, and it's Matt Walsh. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning.
I'm very excited.
Thank you for having me. Very excited myself.
You're so good at concealing excitement. That's really the trick to a lot of what you do, though, isn't it? Concealing excitement?
I'm genuinely excited. How's that?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Saying that and then conveying that.
Oh, good.
At the same time.
There
are a lot of levels. And, you know, and like Mike McClintock is a really smart guy who sounds like he's like dumb sometimes, but that's because he's totally thinking of something else, don't you? That character, isn't he? He's totally distracted.
I think he's preoccupied and buried under the 24-hour news cycle as well.
the news cycle. But or maybe he's thinking about his imaginary dog he has to go walk.
He has a real dog now. He got a real dog in the first season. He had to take her dog.
Yeah. Now, when you do a character like that, Matt, do you get to make it your own? I mean, can you? I mean, this guy seems to be very much like other characters you might have done.
We get a fair amount of like rehearsal time where we sort of improvise around the scripts that the writers give us, and so you can kind of pitch ideas or. And you can tell the wardrobe lady to put coffee stains on your clothing, things like that.
I love him, though, because he's so limited in so many ways and like emotionally limited, and that's a good character for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Very
sweet. That scene where she breaks down into that show episode where she's crying all the time and it's doing her some good politically, and Mike tries to comfort her and is unable to do it. That's an amazing scene.
He's not a therapist in any way, and he's very ill-equipped, I think, in dealing with a lot of women, actually, but especially the vice president.
Yeah. He's very good. He absolutely does not know what to do or say. He's got to sit there with her.
And he also, the more he talks, the more likely he will get them in more trouble, which I love.
Yeah, yeah. What, when you play a character like that, do you actually try to think about something else while you're doing your lines? Is it possible to do that?
I think it's more like Trying to find ways to be inept, or trying to find bad suggestions, or to complicate an already complicated situation. And they're always, you are like literally on your BlackBerry all the time. Like all those people in D.C. are constantly messaging. So you are sort of trying to be busy in every room you come into.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Now, I have here before me the Upright Citizens Brigade Comedy Improvisational Manual. This is tough stuff, comedy.
Nothing more fun than a book that breaks down comedy, right?
I know, but and this is tough. No one would do it if they had to go. If they had to, you know, go through this book. This is tough.
It's sort of like an IKEA manual, how to put a table together. We spent like 7 years knocking around rules and things like that, and I will never. It was the most boring thing I've ever done.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know what I like about though when you're talking about the reactions that you have to have and how you keep your reactions to advance whatever is happening in the scene and so forth. But you say you react at the top of your intelligence.
Yeah.
Don't you think that gets left out of a lot of improv or a lot of comedy in general?
Yeah, I do. And I also think it means that you can bring whatever life experience. You don't have to limit your character in any way. Like anything that you might know as a person, you can sort of bring it to the scene. It also invites you to use everything you know.
Yeah. Like, tell me this, can you make a living as a premise lawyer? Is that possible?
I'm a laughing fool. That's funny. Can you make a living? No, I don't think you can make a living as a premise lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't.
But is there one person in the troupe who's always like the premise lawyer, the one who decides, you know, where the premises
yeah.
go or not?
I think Matt Besser is, he thinks in premises all the time. He's constantly stringing together screwed up or strange scenarios that could begin a sketch.
Mm-hmm. And the thing
of... Ian, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ian's very logical. Ian is sort of the writer of the group. He's very, like, once the premise is there, he can sort of build it from step to step. And I'm not sure how I fit in, but I help whenever I can.
But you are the original source. You are like the carrier of this whole, this improvisational gene. Because you took it from Chicago.
Yeah.
Where you were infected with it and carried it over to Los Angeles and helped start the Upright Citizens Brigade. So you're actually
yeah,
the carrier.
It's like that movie Contagion.
Yeah.
We're all doomed.
Yeah. With Del Close.
So, yeah, we came out of, we studied with a guy named Del Close out yeah. of Chicago who was like yeah. the original guru. And then we
yeah.
were fortunate enough to come to New York and nobody was doing sort of what we call long-form improv. And then we found an audience and then opened a theater and then it just grew.
Yeah. In L.A.?
No, we started in New York.
Oh,
we moved to New York. And then several years later, a bunch of us came out to L.A.
Yeah, I met Del Close. I for a very brief time, I was on WGN Chicago radio, and had Del Close on. Because I thought, God, Del Close actually would come on my show, and I was so thrilled. But he just wanted to talk about his fountain pen collection.
Really?
Did you know he had a great collection of antique fountain pens?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which was cool.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then I met him at a diner, and then he knew who I was. So I went over to his house one time, and I had a nosebleed in his living room. And I had all these things I wanted to ask him out and stuff, and my nose started to bleed for some accountable reason. And he just sort of chased me around a little bit with it, because he had, I think, light-colored carpeting. And
he tried to get you out of it?
No, he said, go with it.
Oh, go with it?
Yeah, go with
really?
It. My nose is bleeding. He said, go with it. So, you know.
But. Yeah, he was a fascinating guy who also traveled with all those, like, fascinating people from, like, Tiny Tim to Lenny Bruce. And he seemed to know everyone. He always had a good story about some interesting
yeah.
person.
And, you know, he was such a sweetheart. He was so nice, Del Close.
He was. He was a very, very sweet man. And he had somebody, when he passed away, he left a document, because he did one of those dream studies in the 60s where the government would give you LSD and then record your dreams or have you talk about them afterwards. And he only gave them like 2 of 4 sessions. So the government wrote him a letter that said he basically owes them two more dreams.
And they say he left his skull to the Steppenwolf Theater. Is that true or not?
That is not true. That was the original. It is not true. It is not his skull.
Okay, for Hamlet or whatever.
But he did. He did will it. He wanted to make it happen. But for, I don't know why it didn't happen.
Yeah. So like when you bond in a troupe like this, I mean, is it for life?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we all live in. We don't see each other that much anymore, unless we're writing a book, say, or doing a show. But we are bonded because we still have a reason to get together. We have a theater and. Matt and I tend to do shows a lot here in L.A., and Amy's in New York a lot, and Ian, once in a while, I see.
Yeah, but you still work together. And is the improv itself, I mean, it seems so different from actually acting. I don't mean actually acting, but it is a form of acting, but then there's movie acting and stage acting. Is it good preparation for that?
It is for comedy, because you're when you're in a situation where the director or whoever is running the show wants you to sort of contribute or write basically for moments that they're not happy with, then your improv skills come into play where you can contribute, you know, new jokes or new moments. So it's very useful for comedy, especially I think nowadays, because a lot of people from Judd Apatow to Adam McKay or Todd Phillips, they sort of encourage, once you have what they've written, they sort of want to discover and explore more and see what's missing or if something isn't working, you sort of collaborate off camera and like talk about it, and then you try something new.
Yeah, so you're advancing the premise?
Yeah. It's not like from whole cloth, like, oh, let's throw the scene away. It's never that, because they've spent so much time on the script. But there are a lot of moments where you get to have fun, or a free take, as they call it.
Because one senses that in the Hangover. You're as Dr. Walsh, I believe?
Yes, Dr. Walsh.
Do you always play a character that is some variation of your name?
Or is it... In Todd Phillips' movies, I think when they've written parts, they sort of had me in mind. So I think they have fun with bringing my name up.
Do you mind if we have about a minute here from The Hangover? This is your scene where you are Dr. Walsh, and you're conducting a proctological or prostate examination of a very old man?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, let's just run that clip and see how that works out.
Look, I already told you. He came in here with a mild concussion, some bruised ribs, no big deal. Although none of you could articulate how it happened.
Do you remember how many of us were here?
I don't know. I think it was just you guys. Definitely no baby. And one other guy.
That's our guy. Was he okay?
Yeah, he was fine. Just whacked out of his mind. You all were. All right, come forward. And turn. All right. Yo! And cough. 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 Give me one more. All right.
And a boy.
Okay, Felix, you can put your robe on, and the nurse will be in here in a minute. I'll see you after the weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
But what you don't see there is the doctor is actually shaking his head to the other people in the room after he said, I'll see you after the weekend. This man is going to be dead over the weekend.
You want to know an interesting historical side note about that scene?
Yes.
That scene was shot on the eve of Barack Obama's first election. So it's an allegory.
I love it. Unexpected.
But that is true. We were all watching the results between takes. We were going off stage and watching television.
Yeah. Well, that's, so that did that influence what you did there?
It informed it, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, the levels.
Yeah. I mean, just the reaction shot when you have to pull the old guy's drawers down, and there's that gasp there from the guy. That's classic. And too visual, I guess, for radio. But that was good. I thought that was good. And I thought that might have been improv influence, sort of the reaction and the takes and so forth.
Yeah, I think, like, reactions definitely. But that scene was written to have an old... a very old man and doing a very, like, way too public exam in front of strangers.
Yeah.
I think that was all in the script. But, and that man was, he just passed away. He was an old, what was it? I think he ran, like, a record store downtown in L.A.
Oh, man. That's too bad.
Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Yeah, Felix, or whatever his name was in the film.
I think Murray, maybe?
Yeah. He looked like a sweetheart. Murray was. Right?
Yeah, he was. He was a very, very interesting cat, yeah.
Now, are you a hero when you come back to Chicago?
A hero?
Get a hero's welcome. Because you do the Bears thing, too, the Bears, you know, thing.
Podcast, yeah. Yeah. I don't get treated like a hero by my mother or my family.
No.
But I suppose on a small improv stage in Chicago, I could be revered and people would be excited to see me, yes.
Because I saw this one thing. It was Matt Walsh and other local comedians will be spoofing Chicago sports in a live version of their Bear Down podcast, which will be broadcast live and filmed live for posterity and later distribution this Friday at the Frugal Muse. Free beer and snacks will be provided. Manager Paul Garrison explains, we met actor-comedian Matt Walsh many years ago when his father, Dick Walsh, a customer of ours, suggested we host an event with his son so all his friends he grew up with could come and welcome him home from California. Despite the short notice and zero advertising, we had over 30 fans show up to greet Matt and ask him questions about his career. Do you remember this night?
It was one of the highlights of my career.
That's pretty good with no notice to get 30 people. Okay? It's about what we do here, you know.
And they rented, and the sweet man, he rented one of those, like, mobile signs that you see outside of a restaurant. Matt Walsh for one night only.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. That was in my hometown out in Darien, Illinois.
Yeah. And now you are a director, and are these movies you're directing, I haven't seen, I'm sorry to say I haven't seen them, but I will definitely find them. Are they improv movies? Are these just as they happen?
Yeah, they're what I would call it structured improv. You hammer out like 60 to 70 scenes with kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, I suppose, where we have like two or three paragraphs of like character description, plot description, and so you know what has to happen, and then you spend a week or so before you film where you rehearse the characters and people understand the character's backstory, and then once you start filming, the dialogue is pretty much completely improvised, but you rehearse it, so it doesn't change every take, but definitely the words that people are saying are, you know, of their own making.
So you don't work with stage actors in making this kind of movie?
I don't, because I don't know any. I only know comedians.
That'd be tough. If you can't improvise... Oh, so you very carefully pick who your actors are going to be, and of course there's a lot of them now who do this kind of thing, and you've got very good ones in here, I'm sure, but the premise is a hypnotherapist, I'm talking about A Better You, hypnotherapist who's having a midlife crisis.
Yes, exactly. It's sort of based on how a lot of people in L.A. go to alternative therapy to fix their problems, so it's about a hypnotherapist who is treating the desperate people of Los Angeles, but is actually... unable to fix himself.
Yeah.
That's the premise of it.
Is this something that was shouted out at some improv show he did? Hypnotherapist, midlife crisis.
No, it's based. I've known a few people in LA who've gone to like hypnotherapists to like. It's kind of, I don't know. It's not total quackery, but I don't understand it. So I found it an interesting world.
Yeah. So, how do you direct something like that, though? You get something and you say, okay, can we take it here now, or how does that work?
You create a very tight story. Like Brian, a friend of mine, Brian Husky, and I wrote it, and spent a year making a very tight, sort of classic arc for a character and a story. And then when you get to each particular scene, you have your actors and you sort of tell them what's important, and then you rehearse it off camera, and then sort of basically shoot the wide, if you will. You stay far away and you run it a few times on camera, and then once it's pretty tight, then you go in for coverage, and if there's any big discovery that you know you can use that's not just a riff about masturbation or something that you would never put in a movie, you follow those. You spend time tightening them and shooting them, and then that's basically it. I hope that's clear.
Yeah. And the previous one was High Road, which is a pot movie.
Yes, sir. It's about a pot dealer who has to go on the run.
Huh? You don't have to call me sir just because I said pot. That's okay.
Oh. Should I pull the car over? Yes, sir.
Do you have a pot movie in this car? Now, it's hard. I mean, there have been pot movies. It's hard to do a pot movie even, because there are so many expectations about what will occur, right?
That's true. This one, I would say the first third of it is a pot movie, and then the next two acts are about a guy who basically runs away and has to tie things up with his father. He said he had a strange relationship with his father, so he goes on the lam and goes to hide out with his father and figures things out.
Yeah, and you got Lizzie Kaplan in this one, Horatio Sands.
Yeah, and Horatio's in A Better You, this other one that I'm shooting now. And
yeah.
Andy Daly and Rob Riggle was in the High Road. Yeah, a lot of like people that you would know.
Yeah. I miss Horatio. That was a loss when he stopped. He wasn't on SNL anymore, though.
Yeah, he's still out here. I see him quite regular. He's still working. He got quite fit for a while. You know, he lost a lot of weight. He's very healthy now.
Yeah. The Bear Down podcast. Now, we're in Wisconsin here, so there are Bear fans, but they don't admit it, you know. But this is a pretty serious thing with you, isn't it, this Bear Down? I mean, it's all kind of humor and stuff. You got that fireman guy who's pretty out
there.
Well,
we do. Yeah, we have Fireman Pete, who's the king of the South End Zone.
Yeah.
who's always pranking visiting teams. But I grew up a Bears fan, but it's more of an excuse to get all the Chicago people in L.A. to do characters who are in the news, in the sports news. So we have people portray Tiger Woods or Mikhail Prokhorov or Derek Jeter or even Paris Hilton. So it's not just the Bears players. It's mostly people in the sports world that we spoof.
Yeah. So and you're doing it in L.A. You're not doing it in Chicago.
Occasionally we'll do a show in Chicago. But yeah, we all live in L.A., most of us, so we do it in L.A.
I would like to say that most of the links are broken on your site there. So you might look into that. The only one that works is actually the men's organic T-shirt.
It's a very amateur production, and very few people listen to it, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, that's the gear, the Bear Down gear. That's the only link that works, and there's just one lousy T-shirt on there.
I know.
Organic men's.
Probably been up there for 3 years, Michael.
Yeah. Organic men's T-shirt, dark, $23.99. And it looks like it's.
I don't think we've ever sold one. I believe we've never sold one.
I think it's a medium or something. I know what Bears fan is going to wear a medium?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not that skinny. We eat a lot of chased meats in Chicago.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're in the midst now. You're filming something now, something promotional. Are you doing some Kickstarter thing too, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're doing a thing. Yeah, we're starting an Indiegogo campaign, which is that thing Zach Braff did to raise money for his movie. I'm doing that on a site called Indiegogo to raise. We have like a few more scenes to write, and we have to pay people, so we're raising a little bit of money to finish the movie.
So things are going that good. You got to crowdsource this time.
Yeah. I'll let you know how it goes. I've never done it.
And is that for this? No, what is that for? This
is for A Better You. This is for the, much like my Bear Down podcast, it's a very mom and pop operation.
Yeah.
So we are looking for finishing money.
Oh, so this is to finish it up and to produce it and maybe to distribute it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we shot most of it and we have like maybe one or two scenes and then we have to like, pay the editors and the color corrector and get the music rights and bring it home.
And Veep, the new season, is starting in April.
Veep starts April 6th, on HBO. Yeah.
And is Mike a big character this go-around?
You get to see a little happiness from Mike this season.
Yeah.
His outside life takes a positive turn, and he's no longer saddled with a boat deficit.
The boat deficit. We tried to sell it to her when she was high on something or other, some combination of drugs.
I almost got rid of the boat in that moment. I know. That was so fun. We're out on the road this season campaigning for the vice president and making sure we don't get in trouble for raising money. And then we explore various groups. We go to Silicon Valley for the new billionaire's money. And we meet some we go to a gun show and we deal with abortion and and she's mostly testing the waters to see what kind of leader she needs to be to win the election.
Yeah, for a presidential run, right?
For a presidential run, yes.
Yeah, sounds great. Matt, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you very much. I love your show.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Matt Walsh, ladies and gentlemen. You can get the comedy improvisational manual. And you can have a similar career if you're lucky and very, very talented. This is pretty good. It really is complex. There's a lot of science behind this, which is why you shouldn't do it unless you're a scientist. Don't do comedy unless you're a scientist.
You could possibly hurt yourself.
You could hurt yourself or others. All right, there. So, okay, you feeling pretty okay to get through this?
Or? Yeah. Oh, no, I'm good.
We don't have, like, a piano player on standby.
No,
in case you go down here.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. But we don't need that, right?
No, we don't need that. I don't do much anyway, so.
Yeah. No.
Okay. As long as I'm not vomiting or anything, I'm good.
Good. You never talk about it because that inspires it.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, okay.
I feel great.
Oh, play music, and music can cure the savage...
Yeah, anything.
Beast.
Yeah.
Or breast. It's actually breast. Did you know that?
Savage breast?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No.
It is. Yeah. Music soothes the savage breast.
Oh.
Look it up. Yeah. I'm not just saying the breast word. That's the way it is. Okay, anyhow.
Well, let's soothe some of those breasts.
All right, what you got here?
This is called Goodbye.
Sounds good. John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. All right, I would like to hear that response now without the applause sign. Okay, I walk on the stage. Even better, get rid of the sign. Well, thank you. Thank you for faking that. This one is, I think, is coming untied here.
Thank you. Yep.
It's not a problem now, but when you're out there and going through a snowbank or something... That comes off on you. And what, in worst case scenario, you lose the shoe in the snowbank?
That's right.
And these are not cheap shoes. These are very nice. Have you got room in the toe?
Barely. These are double tied so that I don't fall down.
Okay, right there. And you are?
Bob.
Bob, what are you doing these days?
I'm just trying to figure out what to do with my life. I just retired.
Doesn't that ever end? I'm so tired of figuring out my life. You just retired now?
Just in November. At it for a while.
What field were you in?
I was a physician.
My brother, too. My brother just retired in California, kind of a, you know, California physician type. And he retired, and now he's going to volunteer as a doctor.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Clayton, why don't you just keep working, and why volunteer and not get paid for doing the same thing you've been doing all these years, 50 years, whatever?
I just like to work without so many computers around me.
Yeah. Or insurance companies, right?
Insurance companies would be good, yeah.
You want to say your name was again?
Bob.
Bob, and you would be then?
Mary.
You guys just use the first names, usually?
That's it, yeah.
Are you retired as well, or are you still working?
Retired also.
You are?
Yeah.
And what field were you in?
I was always home with kids, so.
A home field?
Yeah. Well, a nurse. I was a nurse.
Is that how you met the doctor here?
We met in Switzerland.
Bank or what?
No.
Saw the doctor taking his money to the bank and you...
That's exactly right. Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
It's been wonderful.
Excellent. Bob and Mary, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give them something. Let's give them a little something.
Okay.
Retired?
Something to entertain the mind, maybe?
No.
Okay.
Bottle of wine.
Okay. How about a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
From Wisconsin Wines from the award-winning Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah.
There you go.
Start your retirement off right there. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming, Aaron. Carolyn Goldbach from Hill Point, Wisconsin, is a criminal background researcher. Cool. Carolyn, where are you? Does my name come up? Huh? Feldman? It has come up?
It's your name. Oh, no.
In what context? Or can't you say?
Oh, what's that?
My name.
Oh,
when it came up in your criminal background researching?
Right.
What, do you remember what the context was, or are you not allowed to say?
I'm not allowed to say.
You're not allowed to say, okay. Then I won't make the trip all the way back there for that, because that I could have told you. Okay, well, I'll come. What?
Go talk to her.
Okay, I'll go talk to her. Because criminal background is, could be helpful in the future. Let's see, all the way back here, all the way back here, through the crowd, through the throngs. It's hard to weave my way through the masses, and yet I do it. And where is she? Here she is. I guess you stand up and just talk about this here. Is this, for someone who's looking for a field to get into, criminal background research, good field?
It's been very good for me.
Yeah,
yeah, it's my own business. So.
Oh, it's your own?
Yeah. I primarily do Illinois, however, even though I live in Wisconsin. So.
So are you like a private eye then, or how does that work?
I don't have a private eye license, but
okay.
I have Sorry about me. People in Chicago. And
you know people in Chicago? Or you have people?
That do background checks for me, so.
Now, when you say background checks, are these invasive background checks?
No, it's...
find them in their particular background and while they're in it?
No, it's trying to find out if they're crooks.
Okay.
When they're applying for jobs, so.
Oh, I see. That's a good thing. Like resume?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keywords in a resume?
Would be?
Red flags in a resume, what do you see?
Oh, burglary, murder.
leave it off the resume, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very helpful, very helpful. Even though you were doing pretty well at it. Is that Jeff then with you there? Hey, Jeff. I like this because it says commercial property owner, feed birds. Are you responsible for a number? Because I feel like St. Francis Feldman over there, because I got all these birds that look to me. I was sitting down there to write some jokes or whatever I do, and some ad libs. And all the birds are on the bush again in my window. There's like 4, 5, 6 of them, sparrows. And so I got to go up and give them something to throw out. You know, it's intimidating.
Mm-hmm. It is. Are you feeding them or do you just watch?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the squirrels, too. And I resent the squirrels, but they get fed while feeding. They get everything that's for the birds.
They have to live, too.
I don't know. I sort of like them now. Stage in my life, anything is better than nothing.
Sounds like me.
How many birds do you feed?
Oh, gosh.
She said.
Acres.
Oh, 20 species maybe. And
so you got a big place and a lot of birds depend on you.
Yeah, we have a farm out in Hill Point.
Where?
In Hill Point, by Hill Point.
So how do you feed a farm's worth of birds? Just grow corn?
25 bird feeders, bird bath.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but
bird bath all winter up there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless the power goes out.
Yeah. And they ever freeze in a little bird bath there if the power goes out? That'd be terrible.
A couple now and then. No, not really.
Is there anything else grow on this farm besides birds?
A lot of trees. We've planted a lot of trees.
Mm-hmm. You are St. Francis more than I, so I shake your hand, even though I got an owie. Oh, what? I was just getting started.
I know.
Who ended up getting that four disclaimer thing? Oh, in front there. Okay, good. I'll come back around then. And we'll go on with this here. As you know, this is a quiz show. Maybe you didn't know that. But so it's a general knowledge quiz, but there are certain disclaimers we have to read legally and by law, both those things. And before we can do that, we have to find someone who does it. And here is someone who's willing to do it. I'll get you to stand up here. You are?
I'm Becky Soley from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Hey, Becky from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. I'll give this to you and get out of your way.
The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, gotta like the weather that makes you feel like a hero getting the paper. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Very well done. You can have that as a little souvenir. Whoop. Did you do your own nails? You did your mom's nails?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say that, but I thought it might be insulting when you say it looks... Yeah, very nice. What is that called on her nails there?
A flower, I don't know.
Flowers?
Yeah.
You do your own, too?
Yeah. They came off.
Matching nails with your mom. I think that's very sweet. I love it. Oh, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try the... Yes, okay. Never mind. Just one guy anyhow. You look pretty relaxed. You feeling okay? Yeah, here, stand up here. Let's see if you qualify. No one has not qualified ever, so it's unlikely that you won't qualify. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. And you are?
Chris.
Chris? Okay. We used to have first and last names, I noticed, but some years ago, it's just the first name. That's okay. Chris, are you from around here? Or?
Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Lake Mills! Okay, there's the other resident of Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Chris, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I've been listening to you forever. Well, forced to listen to you forever. And
were you incarcerated? Or...
Yeah, live with my parents. So.
Okay, well, that's there. Okay. Hey, how are you? Thank you for making him listen. Come on, Chris. For mom and dad, let's make this a good one. Have a seat there if you would. That water is still fresh. Oh, yeah. Isn't that cute? He's hugging the emu. That's just stuffed, you know. So are you still living at home, then, Chris?
Yeah, back and forth.
Back and forth, yeah?
Yeah.
How old are you, if you don't mind
35.
Me asking? 35, okay. Pushing the envelope there. That's okay.
Everybody's a comedian.
No, yeah, I know. No, not everybody, apparently. So you had to listen, like, on the way to soccer practice and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, no. Nothing else to do on Saturday morning.
Nothing else to do? What would you prefer to be doing, like, on a Saturday morning, as a child, I mean?
Oh, playing with Tonka toys.
Tonka toys?
Yeah. Remember those when they were actually metal?
Yes, I do.
No, toys were metal, not plastic, and
yeah.
People weren't worried about eating.
And erector sets. Did you have an erector? You're not old enough to have an erector set. I had a superb erector set. It was, but my brother Arthur took it over and started making weird creatures out of it that could attack me. Because it had a motor. It could make actually robots that walked and attacked your little brother. But that was pretty cool. And so what do you do these days?
Right now I am an aspiring couch potato.
Okay. All right. You need to talk in this a little bit.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I know you're relaxed, though. You know how to relax, don't you? Are you actually
a
calm individual, or are you?
No, I just, when I'm really nervous, I look calm.
Oh, do you? That's cool, though. Yeah. I tend to do that, too. I get nervous, and I become calm.
Yeah. If you feel my heart right now, it's probably like...
Maybe another time.
Are you sure?
Well, are you trained in something or did?
I've been around the block a few times.
You know.
Right now,
I'm not
actually,
asking about that. I mean, have you been trained in any vocation? I mean,
no. Right now, actually, I'm working. The new store opened up in Lake Mills, Lake Mills Market.
I saw that in the paper there.
Yeah, pretty cool store.
Yeah,
come and visit us.
Okay, that's cool. And mom and dad, how are mom and dad doing? Good. They look like they're doing good.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
You like having them home, right? So far, so good?
Yep, mows the lawn.
I get the paper in the cold.
Yeah, you get the paper in the cold, you mow the lawn when it's warm. What could you ask for? That's great. Chris, someone out there plays along with you. That's how this works. I don't know if you've ever listened to an entire show. But how does that work then, Sarah Nix?
People who want to play along at home, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question of your choice.
Okay, of the latest batch of 715 new planets, how many actually look promising? If you listened, if you made it through the monologue, you probably would know that. If you didn't, you won't know that, so it's to your detriment. How many of the new 715 new planets they found look promising in terms of life, I guess? That's what I mean by promising. If life is promising, then they look promising. We need a number there from you. Phones are ringing off the hook there. Okay, there's one. Judy's in Memphis. Hey, Judy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
What kind of winter you had there in Memphis?
Wonderful. Sunny and out selling Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, you are right now?
Yes, but the Girl Scouts are taking care of it.
Yeah. You know, we know like several people with Girl Scout age kids. We have about 20 boxes of cookies so far. So I just make an appeal. Don't come around anymore because we buy them by the same six, and I like some of them and not others.
Hi, my daughters. Huh? Thank you for your support.
Oh, yeah,
my daughter was trying to say hello.
They're okay. Good. But no cookies, please.
No more cookies.
Of the latest batch of 715 new planets, how many are promising for life, Judy?
Percentage or number?
A number.
Number.
Number between 1 and 4.
I like 4.
Four is right, Judy. All right. Put down those cookies.
Good okay. job, Judy.
Yeah, Judy, this is Chris. He's your partner in this. You work together with him.
Hey, Judy.
Great. Hey, Chris.
Are you in a good place to do this or on somebody's porch?
No, I'm okay. I'm out in the front of Lowe's, actually. We sell at Kroger's and Lowe's. And,
oh.
I'm sorry, I'm probably not supposed to put names out there, but.
Okay, well, you got various categories here, and let's hear those, Sarah Nix.
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Which one would you like, Judy?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends it is. Okay, the dirtiest part of a doctor. Is it his stethoscope, his hair, or the soles of his shoes?
I heard this from Chris. It's his stethoscope.
Oh,
is it really? What is your doctor doing with the stethoscope?
I don't know. They're just not cleaning it.
Just answer the questions, Chris. It'll go easier on you. Stethoscope?
Sure.
Stethoscope is right. Yes, they're filthy. And they take him home with them, too, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's left there?
That's one right and zero wrong.
Yeah.
And the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay. Chris?
Science.
4-ethylonactyl. 4-ethylonactyl is more commonly known as one of the following. Curdled milk, odor of male goat, or Axe deodorant.
I think goat's the funniest.
I like...
Goat is the funniest. Good man. Chris, have you done improv or stand up? Are you a comic? Have you thought about doing comedy?
No.
Because you got a good demeanor and a good delivery, I think.
Thank you.
Stuff Michael. You say isn't funny yet, but you got to work on it.
I was excited to come on here to hear Matt.
What?
To hear Matt.
Yeah, he's cool, isn't he?
He's in Old School. I like that movie, too.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff, actually. And so that
that's two right and zero wrong.
We could talk all day, but I got to do this.
Yeah, okay.
And
the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Judy?
How about people, places, or things you should have learned in school?
Those are all different
categories.
Remaining. That's
the
like
categories
about seven categories.
Current events.
It's going to be a long answer.
People.
Oh, boy.
Places.
Okay. What? Which one,
things
then?
Things you should have learned in school.
Well, had you been paying attention?
Okay. Had I been paying attention.
Yeah, that's long enough. Did the ancient Mycenaeans of ancient Greece have nonstick pans?
Can you say that again?
I don't think so, but I will try. Did the ancient Mycenaeans of ancient Greece have nonstick pans?
Are you saying pans or pants?
Nonstick pants? I guess either one would work. Come think of it.
Oh, pans. Like, did they have nonstick pans cooking?
Pans, yes. Cooking pans. Am I that hard to understand? To me, I'm speaking perfectly good English. But, you know, I'm at the age where it's entirely possible I am babbling.
Chris, do you have
I don't
any
think
ideas?
So, Judy. I don't know, but,
non-stick
you know.
Nonstick pans.
Could be a trick question.
Could be.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, let's go with it. That's
you say
odd.
Yes?
bouquet?
Yes, they had ceramic. They cooked in ceramic things that were nonstick. I don't know if that was their motive. I'm not Mycenaean or ancient. I'm ancient, but okay.
That's three right and zero wrong.
Oh, they won.
They have, in fact, won.
But if they want to go for the whole thing, can they do that?
They can. They could risk it all for the mother load.
Oh, do you want to do that? You want to go for the mother load by answering one more question?
Why not?
Knowing that if you get it wrong, you lose everything. And you have to move out of your parents' house.
Oh, wait a minute.
Tough one.
What do you think, Judy?
Yes, let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay, what the heck. You'll find a place.
The categories left are current events, people, or places.
There's big boxes at the store.
Okay. What? Yeah, this is a nice one of those boxes. Good source of boxes. It's perfect.
Refrigerators.
Yeah, which one would you want?
Oh, American's going out of business. What? What?
I don't know what you're talking about. Now you're the bad one. The category.
Which one did we do yet?
There are current events, people, and places remaining.
Let's do current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Quote of the week has to be, "I may be a white boy, but I can jump." Who said it? This is too easy.
Oh, no.
Woody Harrelson?
That's really old,
no,
but
that's
I mean,
from
it's
the movie.
Not this week.
No, this is someone in the news, a high-level official of the United States of America, said, "I may be a white boy, but I can jump."
Then
very well-known, high-level, pretty high-level person. You're saying Joe Biden?
Joe Biden?
Oh, I don't know, because I know those guys.
Yeah,
are like
Judy, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, yeah. President, Vice President, Joe Biden.
I'll buy that.
Who else would say that? Of course, you won. Congratulations.
Chris, you'll be able to slice, dice, and chop to your heart's content with a cutting board from the Kenosha News, one-time home of Bob the Evening News Dog, and finally understand human nature with Charles Duhigg's The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business from Random House, manage stress and make positive change in your life with Kelly McGonigal's The Willpower Instinct, How Self-Control Works, Why It Matters, and What You Can Do to Get More of It from Avery, and if all else fails, go down with Andrew Blum's Tubes, A Journey to the Center of the Internet from HarperCollins.
Where's my books these days?
Judy,
everything
start
but my
your
books.
Day. Well, I don't know, man. Should we give him one of your books? You can have one of Michael's books, too. Judy, start your day with What Do You Know Way with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend and sail into the sunset with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then enjoy wildly fresher breath with Meshuggah Mints, Crazy Strong, certified kosher, and packed in a reusable tin from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. Keep chapped lips at bay in cold weather with all-natural, super-moisturizing, and long-lasting Badger Lip Balm from W.S. Badger & Company. And a bunch of other things that I do not have time to tell you.
But not my book.
But not your books. I have to tell you, Peoria fans, Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods on Saturday, March 22nd. Come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be a part of the show. Tickets for the broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
It's here for Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And Judy at home. Judy, hang on. We'll make sure we get a number from you. Thanks for playing.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Gotta get my books out there. What happened to my books? We got a little bunch of them. They're lying around gathering dust.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Huh?
That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we break some ice in our place to be. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's looking for wearable technology with tweets, it's Michael Feldman.
There's a dime in my bag. Pretty lucky guy. Okay. Now we got, this is a professional pair. Where's the R and where's the L? Okay. Hi. Doing pretty good, Dan?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Don't worry about that background check thing. I'm sure none of you are involved in it, why she's here. Here's some all the news that is, actually. You know, we have all the news that isn't, and this is all the news that is around here. Some things that stood out in the news. For example, this thing here. Wardens want ice anglers to tell DNR about stuck shanties. The weather has been such that the guys are actually freezing their shanties out there. When they should be falling in this time of year, normally. Starting to fall in. Yeah. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Wardens are asking ice anglers to tell them about stuck shanties as removal dates loom. That's looming. They're looming. What is the removal date? Do we have one? Huh? It's today? How are they going to get them out? Oh, there goes John. He's removing something. I'm not quite sure what. Well, they're going to have to blast them out to get them out of there. So, and then if you don't remove your shanty, is there a fine? Or what do? They confiscate it. They're not going to get it out to confiscate it. Okay, we don't even know. The agency says anglers have been asking for advice on how to meet the deadlines because their shanties are stuck, frozen in after temperatures climbed into the 40s and then dipped below zero again. Yeah, this winter's been messing with the ice fishermen more than anybody, let's face it. The wardens say anglers should do their best to get the shanties out by the deadlines. Anglers sure they can't, should explain the situation to the DNR. That always works. And the wardens will use discretion. Right. They pick them for that. That's how they pick those wardens, for discretion. Shanties, oh, here it is. Shanties are supposed to be off Wisconsin-Iowa boundary waters by February 20th. Holy cow. They must be off Wisconsin-Minnesota boundary waters by March 1st. That's today, isn't it? Southern inland waters by March 3rd, and northern inland waters by March 17th, and Wisconsin-Michigan boundary waters by March 15th. So this go down to the wire, or past the wire, over the wire. Other news that is from around here, the mayor of Green Bay has invited Pope Francis to visit Green Bay to catch a Packer game and see a sacred shrine. Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Same thing, somebody said.
Yeah, same thing. Okay, all right. Well, that's pretty much explained itself, and we'll see what he might do. It. This guy's, I don't think Benedict would have, but I think Francis is a good chance. He'd come to Green Bay. It'd be cool. He'd like it. Then there's this story out of Oak Creek. We find a lot of our amusing crime occurs in Oak Creek for some reason, which is near Milwaukee, I think, isn't it? Used to be. Things might have changed. Officers responding to a report of a hysterical female inside a gas station February 22nd discovered a first date gone terribly wrong. The woman told police her date ditched her and took off with her belongings. Well, that's a bad date. She was at the Quick Trip, crying inside the Quick Trip on South 13th Street about 8:55 p.m. Police spoke to the woman who said she was on a first date with a man whose name she did not know. That should have red flagged right there, is what I'm thinking. And they had gone out for some drinks and a movie earlier that evening. The man then drove to Quick Trip and told her to run inside and buy him some five-hour energy drinks. This could only happen in Oak Creek. I don't know why. Yeah. While the woman was inside the business, the man drove off with her purse and overnight bag still inside his vehicle. The woman had told police the man was talking about going bowling later that evening. And police found the man at Classic Lanes on South Howell. They're very complete police reports too in Oak Creek. That's the beauty of it. It makes it even better. The man told police that he left the woman at the gas station because she told him she wanted to spend the weekend with him and be together on their first date. He said he got scared about that and left her at the Quick Trip. The man told police he no longer had the woman's purse. He said he dropped it off at Walgreens because he didn't know where to take it. The police report did not state where the Walgreens was located. Police recovered all of the woman's property from the man's vehicle and Walgreens and returned it to her. So it was at Walgreens, and she got it back. That's the good news. Both the man and woman stated they were satisfied with the items being returned and agreed never to date each other again. I guess that's my favorite news item from around here. But there's this one, too. Appleton Airport may soon be known as Appleton Airport. And other one of note here, La Crosse developer drops plan to convert sausage factory into housing. Oh. There you have it, all the news from around here. Yes. Oh, and there's this. There's just, it's on a personal level. You know what this is? The Department of Health and Human Services.
What happened?
The one I cut my finger on, opening that's his finger. It's coming from a huge paper cup. I nearly cut the finger off. Medicare, Plan A. There it is. It works as of today. Wow. So this should cover the finger I got in opening the letter, isn't it? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Plan A. There is no Plan B, ladies and gentlemen. This is it for me. And they also sent me a little notice saying you can beg for drugs. There's a little beg for drugs option, but I didn't take that one. So Medicare can't. Which leads me to this thing here that I've been thinking about anyhow. This is called, you are of an uncertain age if one of the following is true. This is about being, you know, getting where you get your Medicare card, time of life. You are of an uncertain age if you refer to at least one object around the house as a hoo-ha. You are way past tired of having your every icebox, clicker, tennis shoe, and TV dinner mocked. You say it. You never have to wonder where your keys are. They're in the door. Your dog is way too important to you. You think One Direction is a tampon. It sometimes comes out Afro-American. But that's just how it was in the 70s. You replace every bulb with a 20-year life LED so you'll never have to change another life bulb again. It's a life bulb at that point. This is the first day of what's left of your life. You keep checking your landline. That means you're of an uncertain age. Losing 5 pounds is statistically insignificant. When you get the senior discount without asking for it, it no longer bothers you. Your children tell you to grow up. You mix up millennials and perennials. You are at least format 4 of your music and movies, and you pray for no afterlife because this has been enough. Thank you very much. You are an uncertain age. I had to get that off my chest. Some of those things really bug me. I call the thing that's, I know it's a remote, it's a clicker. It's an ice box. I know there's no ice in it. It is a box. It used to have ice in it back in my parents' day. Now, here's a man who is a local hero. Speaking of that, and I have that article here somewhere. Where did I put it? Okay, I got here somewhere. He'll tell us all about it. Tom Korsarik, he's up in Manitowoc, or Two Rivers, actually, like that. And the duck, talk about the shanties being frozen. The duck were frozen in. Up there near Two Rivers. And Tom did something about it. He's an openly conservationist kind of guy and did something about it. And he went out there with an icebreaker to free the ducks. And I think this is a wonderful story because we get all the bad news. And then there's something like Tom Korsarik out there. And he's online with us right now. Let's say hello to him. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I love this story.
It's a good human interest story, yes.
You're a humanitarian, or whatever you call a duck. You're a duckitarian.
Both my wife, Betsy, and I are conservationists. We belong to a lot of organizations that are out there protecting nature and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And did you see ducks actually frozen? I've seen them up here occasionally. They will get their little webs actually frozen to the top of a lake or a pond.
We've had a few of those, but yeah. Typically this time of the year, our harbors are at least open water, and we get upwards of 500 ducks that come into the harbors. They're diving ducks, and they dive down along the seawall and grab mussels off of the seawall and algae, and that's what they live on.
So are these coots then?
No, they're not coots. No. Most of them are golden eyes. They're from up. They nest up near the Arctic. And they come down here for their winter vacations.
Yeah.
So this winter was probably more like the Arctic than the Arctic was. So
I bet.
It turned out that our harbors were froze over for an extended period of time. And we had so much ice out on Lake Michigan that they had to go out 8 or so miles to find open water.
Oh.
Consequently, they couldn't get at their food source. So we had some ducks walking along the edge of our streets and stuff.
They were just begging.
Yeah. Begging. They were starving, in fact, and our Wildlife of Wisconsin local rehabilitator said that the number of ducks that were getting dropped off by them in bad condition was up dramatically from last year. So my wife and I thought, well, we got to try and open up these rivers and call one of our friends who owns a marine construction company. He had a couple of tugboats, and they unfortunately were all out of town or in dry dock. And Eric Pitts from McMullen and Pitts then called Mike LeClaire from the Susie Q Fish Market in Two Rivers.
Oh, yeah, Susie Q.
They got their fish trawler out, and they had it put away for the winter, but they managed to get it out and came up the Manitowoc River through the Manitowoc Harbor and also through the Two Rivers area and broke up a bunch of ice in the harbors. And before he even left the scene, there were ducks flying in and popping down the water looking for food. So it was a success.
And you say it was like three feet deep, the ice?
Well, some of the ice, we also have the Maritime Museum in our community in Manitowoc. And we have a submarine parked alongside the seawall there next to the museum. And the submarine was actually listing away from the seawall because the ice had gotten so thick it was pushing it out. And the lines on the submarine were getting extremely tight. And they went down with some fish augers and drilled some holes in the ice to loosen up the pressure. And at that point, they determined that some of that ice was over 3 feet deep in that area.
Oh, boy. But at least if the submarine sinks, you know, it'll be all right. That's the good news.
It won't have too far to go, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's really quite amazing. And so you are kind of like the savior of these ducks up there. They would have been in serious trouble. You know, and you take ducks for granted around here because there's so many of them and they're so annoying. You know, they're kind of nuisance. Not like the geese. The geese are worst. I mean, we have a little swamp near our house here, a little lagoon and small lake, and the geese are by far the worst. But the ducks, you know, we take them for granted because they're like neighbors or something like that. You see them all the time. And
that's true, although you'll see different ducks in your area at different times of the year.
Yeah, these ducks sound kind of unusual.
Yeah, they are exotic. Migrating. This is where they migrate to the south, and we'll also get some common mergansers and red-breasted mergansers and some more exotic ducks pop into the area for the winter months, and then they're gone during the summer again.
Yeah, but that fish trawler from Susie Q's, what is that, a landing craft or something? How do you? It's an icebreaker. It's kind of unusual.
Well, it's got a steel hull on it, and it's used to go out onto Lake Michigan pulling big trawling nets for commercial fishing use, and they've been around for a lot of years. I think Susie Q Fish Market's been in business for over 100 years. It's multiple generations that have run the business, and they just did a great community service for us, and we're very thankful for what they did.
Fantastic. And it's a great story, and I wanted just to pay tribute to you, Tom.
Well, it's mainly Susie Q Fish Trawler that did the work.
But it wouldn't happen without Tom Kucerik.
Well, thanks, Michael. I'm just happy that the ducks were able to access some open water and get some food.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Kucerik, right. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who saved the ducks. We need more people like him, saving more types of things. He's a good man. Okay, and if you want to look on our website, you can see a picture of the ducks being saved. It's very stimulating. It makes you want to do good for some sort of life form. Why are you just nodding at me? Are you agreeing?
It's sweet. It's a sweet story.
It is. It's
I'm a little choked up about the ducks.
It is. It's very nice. Very nice. And, around here, the ducks are, we live right near a park that has a lot of ducks and stuff. And, you know, you can't play touch football anymore because, you know.
Well, that's more the geese, though, isn't it? Those.
Oh, the geese are the worst. I can't kid you. And, you know what's weird about geese?
What?
Well. They take a dump when they're landing. Right before they land, they take a dump. Isn't that weird? I just think that's such a weird thing to do. I mean, I can't imagine being a goose.
Because you think they take it when they're taking off.
Yeah, because it's a less weight to get up in the air. You know, I would think that would make more sense. Like flaps. It would be like flaps. Flaps down, you know, be...
You put a lot of thought into this.
No, but I'm just going to say about the ducks. And, you know, the ducks, they're okay. But people feed them all the time, and they come up, and they'll nip on your little fingers and stuff when you're feeding them, if you're a little kid and you have little fingers. It's kind of cute, except they have all these diseases. You know, so it's a mixed feeling. But then there were some people that were visiting from I don't know where they were from. foreign people, very nice people. I don't mean anything about it, but
Minnesota.
They were fascinated with it. They made me appreciate my duck. They were taking pictures of these ducks from every angle, and they were so excited about seeing these ducks that it made me reevaluate my feeling about ducks. Is all I'm saying.
Nice.
You know, because you can take something like that for granted.
If the water's frozen, they're just probably all going to die.
So seeing this, seeing this, I say, wow, this is a great thing. Someday I hope to do something like this to save
like
some.
You could take like a loaf of bread down there and spread it around and save them if they.
I don't think so. Just encourage them. You don't want to do that. All right, so here now you got a little, what is this, a little tune of yours?
Yeah. No.
No?
It's just a little song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay, though? You want me to play a little something?
No. We'll stick with what we...
Yeah, I don't really know anything, but I could improvise.
No, that's okay. It's called Ex Lento.
Ex Lento.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? Oh, we weren't on?
We were on break, yeah.
Oh, we were on break. So, I hope you keep doing your mother's nails.
Yeah.
Wow. I forgot we were on break there.
I did too.
Usually I would give it to you. Why didn't you tell me that?
I don't know. I thought maybe you had something.
Okay, so anyhow, Rachel, as you were saying, sixth grade... And it's harder, and it's homework.
Yeah.
But is there a subject you like?
Math, I guess. Yeah.
Math? Okay, good. That's very good. You can make a living at that.
Yeah.
Like some of the other subjects that we have taken and even taught. Very nice to meet you. Keep doing the nails as long as possible. Peggy is from Menominee, Michigan. She's a teacher who says, our son gave us these tickets for your show for Christmas. Took you a while to get here, though, I see. What a nice, thoughtful present. Where is that, you guys back there? Oh, you're way back there. May we have a picture of you with us so we can frame it and put it on his mantle. On his mantle. On his mantle, right? Is that the key word here? Great. Let's do it. I don't have a frame, but I'd give you that, too. How do you want to do this? You want to do it on stage?
Sure.
Well, yeah, come on down here on stage. Usually we do this after a show, but I feel it. Since I'm working during breaks, anyhow. Yeah. Come on down here. It's Peggy. Now, who's the family unit again?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
And you're?
I'm Peggy.
Peggy. Do we have a last name in this family?
Sure. We're the Barkers.
The Barkers. See, that's nice. I would say that. And are you related to them?
No, we're good friends. We're from Palatine, Illinois, outside Chicago.
Oh, Palatine, okay.
Yeah, Bears fans.
Bears fans.
Okay, don't mention it. Okay, so come on up here. Let's get it on stage now. Let's do this as if you were actually part of the show. And you want to be in front of the map? Or the, is that in the Wienermobile and the Badger? Usually I stand between. Usually I stand between couples. Here, I'll put my arm around her. That way.
That's better.
Okay, how's this look? This will look good on a mantle. Did you take it yet? Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. That's going to look good on his mantle.
Do you guys want to throw the dart while you're up here? They can throw the dart while they're up here.
What?
You want to throw the dart while you're up here? Because I got to be honest, our town of the week that we got for this week is no good. We need a new town of the week.
Yeah.
You want to? They're not. They're just.
Yeah.
No, I guess
good
not.
Good idea.
Okay.
It's not gonna happen. All right. That's them. Took care of that. If electricity... Oh, this is a good one. I'll let you say it. Jennifer Meyer, Green Bay. Okay. You want to do it?
Sure. If electricity comes from electrons, does morality come from morons?
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Okay, come on. Give her a little... Did you invent that? Or did you hear that somewhere?
Yeah, I invented it.
You invented it. Very good. Very good. your writer's credit for that. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? An old Dylan fan here, huh? Matthew Sanborn? Hey, Matthew. I'd say one. Call him a man on the first road.
I would think it was three or a multiple of
three. Three or a multiple of three. Okay, we're all different. Why would you have to call him anything? He knows what he is. Okay. Are you surprised that you weren't chosen to replace Leno? I thought I had been. And, you know, because of similarities in names, you know. The guy doing it. Yeah. Fallon, Feldman. I thought it was for a minute there. We want our own bobbleheads. Where can we get them made, Susan? In Ekroyd. Ekroyd? Yeah? How far have you gotten on that during this show so far? You got the heel done?
I got the heel done.
Of a sock?
Yep.
That's very nice. So if it was for a one-legged individual, you'd be all done, really.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, that's very, that's really beautiful. Very nice. What's the secret to that? And you get, you know, you got the ribbing down the side of the sock like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that hard to do?
I did it on purpose.
You know, I thought it looks very purposeful. But, I mean, is that hard to do? It's like a real sock.
It is a real sock, yeah.
No, I mean, but it looks like something you'd buy at Walmart. It's that good.
People have come up to me and said, you know, you can buy those at Walmart for about a dollar or two a pair.
How long does it take you to do a sock or two socks?
I don't know, a couple weeks.
Really, a couple weeks?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They're beautiful, though. It's a shame to put those on somebody's feet. Oh, they go on your feet?
They go on my feet.
See the socks you're wearing now?
No, they're not hers.
Oh, those are not any good. Yeah.
Most of my socks.
Where are the ones that she does for you?
Well, I do all the time. Just not today.
Odd thing. Bobbleheads, you want bobbleheads?
Bobbleheads, yeah. We want bobbleheads.
I have one in our little game thing.
We want to give them to our children for Christmas next year.
We want bobbleheads of us.
Oh, you don't want bobbleheads of me to give to your kids? For
No, bobbleheads of us.
Get you two of them. We put one in a dress or something like that.
No, we thought it'd be funnier if they got bobbleheads of us.
Oh, then I can't help you. I don't know. Those are made in China. We had to send them back a couple times because they really don't do Jewish guys very good in China. In fact, it was a rather grotesque stereotype. And then we discovered that's what I really look like. And okay. I can get you that address, though, for the people, bobblehead people in China. I don't know what that means. Where can I buy two used tandem kayaks in Dane County? Get out of here. Do you travel with a nightlight, my friend Janine does? Did your medication just kick in? Or Audrey Brundage in... And she's in purchasing. All right, you don't have to get up. That's you think I was going to run into you.
I didn't want to get in your way.
Oh, you're not. You'd never be in my way.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, too. Okay, Audrey Brundage. Can I get you to stand up here, Audrey, if you don't mind? Let's go through this right now. First of all, purchasing. What is that?
I spend other people's money and buy tanker loads of corn syrup.
Can't you use it for something else? Does it have to be corn syrup?
It's coconut oil, palm oil. I buy tankers.
Tankers full of, how can you? What do you do with it then?
We make food products out of it in Vesper, Wisconsin.
Oh, what's the food product that comes out of that?
Creamers, coffee creamers.
Coffee creamers comes out of a tanker of?
Yes.
And you're the one who purchases it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Oh, yeah, you're the one that's mentioned in here. It says, do you actually travel with a night light?
Yes, I do.
What is that exactly?
I don't know.
Miner's hat?
No, it's an actual plug-in night light.
Oh, you mean you take it with you when
She's
you go?
She's the perfect person to go on vacation with because she has everything. Yeah. You go to a condo or something like that, and all of a sudden there's a night light. Janine was there.
Do you leave them behind?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do by mistake.
How many do you own?
About four.
Well,
she's perfect. And then she picks on my husband when we go on vacation, saves me some time.
She picks on...
Yeah, we go on vacation with our husbands and stuff like that, and she's not very nice to him, and it just saves me a lot of time.
She doesn't like your husband.
And she's not the only one.
Well, that makes for a nice vacation.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun.
She can take over that part of the arguments during vacation. Yeah. That would be wonderful. Plus the nightlight. Yes. You are... Janine, you're the perfect person.
Well, thank you.
Let's give her something. Do we have anything that would complete her trousseau of perfect things?
Sure. How about giving her a chance to get background science to everything, reading David Remnick's theories of everything from Bloomsburg Publishing? No? Eh. You don't like it? Okay.
How about a bottle of wine?
Okay. How about a bottle of wine?
That's perfect. A little wine, a little nightlight. You can share it with your friend here. Forget the husband this time. Leave the husband.
I've been trying to give away that book for months.
How thick is the ice on Lake Mendota? I don't know. Lyle, do you know how thick the ice is now?
He claims that last week it wasn't thicker than a foot, but
no,
I think it might be.
Than a man's foot?
Than a grown man's foot.
Yeah, does your mic work, Lyle?
About 2 feet.
What?
About 2 feet.
How do you know that, Lyle?
Someone went out there and augured into it, and that's how...
And that's how it augured? It augured to 2 feet. So anyone wants to know that? Steve Lindner, about 2 feet. What Olympic medalist do you most relate to? Bruce Jenner. And more and more. I'm getting some of the same work done.
See this here? I had to do...
Yeah, back into your ponytail. Stretch it all back into your ponytail. That's the secret. Okay. Anyhow, let's go on and do the What Do You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for why would you say multiples of three?
It seems like it takes three times to make the same mistake before you figure it out. Something like that. And that's how you grow up. You know?
All right. This is just a lyric from a song, though. You know, you're taking it a little seriously. I know Dylan said a lot of heavy-osity things, but they're, you know, I wouldn't think about it for all these years. It's ridiculous. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them. Okay, come on. You come up with that perfect humor there. Let's hear what else you got going for you. Okay, just go right up there and I'll... No, you're cool. Come on. Cool. I'll meet you there. Qualified you enough with the morality and morons things. That's very good. And you are?
Jennifer Meyer from Green Bay. Go Packers.
Green Bay. You got tickets, eh? You do?
Yes.
You always use all of them?
I acquire friends very quickly.
I bet you do.
Yes.
Okay. So that's like it. Has your family always had Packer tickets?
Yeah. They're actually one of the franchises that you can actually pass down your tickets from.
Yeah, you got it. You got to. Otherwise, you don't get them.
So as long as I stay on my dad's good side, we're okay.
Yeah. How many you got?
Four.
Ooh, God. I can't use all those each time, I wouldn't think. My daughter first wanted to go to Packers game. She said, Dad, you're on the radio. Just have people give you their tickets and go. And I said, no, so I had to go on, you know, eBay, pay hundreds for them. But now I know you, Jennifer.
I got you.
Yeah. So what are you doing these days?
I'm a utility contractor.
You are?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or is it?
Can be. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
We do directional boring, so we dig ditches.
Oh, it's actually
boring.
Can
you dig it?
It's literally boring.
It's literally boring.
Literally.
It's very unexciting.
Yeah. Do you do the actual boring part of it?
I can if I have to, but it's too cold.
Too cold to bore right now.
Yes.
Why are these borings being done?
Because you need service for your internet.
Oh, you do the boring for an internet?
Sure.
You'll agree with anything, aren't you?
Sure.
Really, you know.
To you, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, because I'm so harmless, right? That's what you're saying. All right, so Jennifer. So now, is this for a cable company you do these borings?
Yeah.
Is it a cable company we would know?
Yes, but I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh, you'd have to kill me?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. At least you could dig a hole, put me in. And then, and you're from Green Bay, grew up there. Where'd you go to school there?
I grew up in Appleton, live in Green Bay. So.
Okay, big transition.
Yeah, huge.
Appleton people are different than Green Bay people, aren't they?
Yes.
That's what I thought, too. Okay, and then, So did you? So you went to school at Appleton West or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly yeah. That.
Cool.
Wow.
Is that the one with the rocket in front of it?
I think so. Maybe. I didn't pay attention much during school.
There was
going
a huge
to school.
Intercontinental missile right in front of the front door of the high school. Did you ever see that
yes.
on your way in or out?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's the one. and then, okay, so that's good. Is this a fun, you're, what, mid-20s now?
Yeah, something like that.
Fun part of your life?
Yeah, I guess.
Having fun?
I mean, I'm not your age, so I don't have anything to...
I'll trade you my card here that I just got in the mail for a Packer ticket. You could get...
Sounds like a deal.
You could get free hospitalization. Just have to convince them you're a 65-year-old man, that's all. I can do it. I don't see why anybody else can't. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. And what do you do for kicks, fun times?
I like to. I do like karaoke competitions around the
you
country.
Do?
Yeah.
You go. You do. You enter.
Yeah, I just went to one in Vegas actually.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
I got like 6 out of like 40
people. Out of how
many?
12. What?
Out of like 45 people. It was like a week long event.
Oh, you got
it
in 6th place.
Yeah. Brought my mom to Vegas. So.
What was your killer? What's your killer? Is your mom here?
No, she's not.
Yeah. What was your killer tune? What's your killer tune?
I like to go old school, do a little bit of like Melissa Etheridge.
You do?
I'm the only one type of.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that, John?
No.
Okay. Come on now.
That's the killer?
That's the killer. It's fun.
Yeah. That one usually do it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And along the way, what songs you do? As you're building up to your.
Anything you want to hear.
Hit me with your best shot?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, good.
Acapella.
Acapella.
You start it.
I guess we'll skip this part of the show. Unless you want to. You want to? No, no, okay. That'd be a tough one to do. That's really good. Were you a trained singer or you learned to, were you in a band or anything? Or?
No, not really. I just went out to a bar one time and sang a song and somebody said, holy crap, you can sing. And I was like, really? All right. I mean, everybody sounds like amazing when you're in your car jamming out. You have the acoustics going on. It's
bathroom,
great.
Shower.
Sure, absolutely. It's great.
Yeah.
But, so...
Yeah, I always thought, why don't they record people in the shower? You know, I mean, that'd be, I'm not so bad, but anywhere else
sure?
I can't care. Well, you know why? Because you can hear yourself in the shower, or you can't because the water's on and it's in your ears. It's one of the two. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, it's great to have you here, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. And someone out there plays along with you. And how does that work then?
The people who want to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Sarah does a lot of karaoke.
Oh gosh. Let us not speak of it.
Little sample?
No.
Go.
No.
She loves to do Liza Minnelli.
She could do great Liza.
That's true.
Do New York, the whole New York thing.
It's not New York, it's Cabaret.
Cabaret, do the whole New York Cabaret thing.
Do you know John Tulin? Every Saturday morning I come in here, I ask John Tulin to play this song for me before anybody is in the audience, and he refuses.
Those Little Town Blues. Come on.
He can play the song. No.
No one will sing for me. We go to the phones, right? So they play along with you after I do the qualifying question. Is that how it works?
That's exactly correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Out of the 715 new planets, how? No, we did that. I had another qualifying question. I don't know what I did with it, though. Isn't that funny?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Dirtiest doctor tells me, I see, ancient Greeks. But I can jump. Okay, let's do this here then. Here's a question. How many gender options are now available on Facebook? Finally, gender options, and it's on Facebook now because it's complicated. So that's the question. If you are on Facebook, you now have a certain number of ways of describing your gender. And let's go to the phones right now and find out who knows this. A Facebooker out there should probably know this. Wooster, Ohio. Hey, Jacob.
Hello.
How's Wooster?
It's very good.
Wooster, I mean. It's Wooster, right?
Yeah, it's Wooster.
Yeah.
I mean, this snows,
but
we still have some.
Yeah, yeah. We did a show out there a few years ago.
What? Wait,
yeah,
what?
When you were about, I would say about 4.
No, I'm 9.
You're 9 now, but it was about 5 years ago, so you're about 4 years old. You probably didn't hear about it when we were in Worcester.
Oh, no.
No, okay. How are things going, Jacob? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got planned for today?
Let's see. Well, I am going to, like, do
give some stuff to a church, kind of like Salvation Army, only it's not the Salvation Army. But we're going to give some stuff to, like, we're going to give, it's like one of those big, like, it's like a mini car.
You're giving a car to your church?
Yeah, it's like a little mini car that runs on battery.
Oh. How cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
Is that yours and you're giving it to the church for...
Well, yeah, I got it when I was like maybe 3 years old, and so I've had it for about 6 years.
Well, that's nice. That's very nice, Jacob.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's very good of you to do that. Are you on Facebook?
No, I am not. No, I am not.
Okay, well, then we can't use this question.
I don't even have
question. Okay. We're just going to give it to you then because we cannot use this question. Congratulations, Jacob, for giving that mini car to your church. You qualify for the What Do You Know quiz. Are you excited?
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, well, you deserve it.
You
deserve it. Jacob, this is Jennifer. She's your partner.
Hi, Jacob.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah. So the two of you now, you work together, okay? We have various questions, as you'll hear, and then you two of you work together on it and answer them, okay? Because you're pretty smart. You're pretty smart, right, Jacob, I sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm in third grade.
Your third grade is the toughest. Once you get through third grade, you know everything, pretty much. It's all downhill. Like fourth grade, already peaked. So
what?
I'm saying third grade is a very good grade to be in because you learn a lot of stuff. All the stuff you learn in your life probably is in third grade.
But the best part is my teacher, she doesn't give me any homework, so
no.
I don't have to learn anything when I get home besides, I have to do like maybe 20, 30, half an hour, minutes of reading, and then I'm good.
Then you're good. And then what do you do when you're all done with that?
I usually get on my Xbox and play NBA 2K14 for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You ought to give that to your church, too.
Oh, no. No, I got that for Christmas.
Oh, you can't do that. Maybe five years from now you can give that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Jacob, Jennifer, we have various categories in this quiz. And what are they?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Jacob, we'll let you pick the first category. What would you like?
Read the categories to me again.
They would be current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Science.
Which one?
Science.
Oh, science. I'm sorry. I thought you said five.
Oh, no, you're...
Okay, a three-person embryo. Oh, that's not... All right, here's the question in science. We have to breathe 200, 300, or 1,000 times for each time a sea sponge breathes.
Jacob?
Oh, the sea sponge, live on the bottom of the ocean there. They take very little oxygen to live on. We would have to breathe 200, 300, or 1,000 times for one sea sponge breath.
How many do you think, Jennifer?
I'm thinking go big or go home, so probably 1,000. Oh. What do you think?
Go big or go home. Is that okay? Okay, yeah, 1,000. 1,000 breaths. Okay. Compared to a sea sponge. Now, you can test this yourself, but I wouldn't advise it.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
The categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay.
I'm counting on you, Jacob, so things we should have learned in school.
School, okay. This should be in the third grade level.
I think so. I'll go with.
Okay, in his dictionary, how did Noah Webster spell soup?
Soup.
We know how it's spelled now, S-O-U-P, but how did Noah Webster and his old, the first guy to do a dictionary, really, around here.
Soup.
S-O-U-P. Okay, that's how we spell it now, but I'm saying when he put out his dictionary, actually he tried some spellings that were not adopted, is what I'm saying. So
S-O-O-P.
That's it. That's it. You got it. What a guy. Yeah, he spelled it with two O's. And it never caught on. So that would be...
two right and zero wrong.
He's doing great. Sarah, what's in there now?
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Could be anything. Can strangers match photos of people and their dogs at a rate well above chance, or can't they?
What?
Can strangers match photos of people and their dogs at a rate well above chance, or can't they? In other words, do people actually look like their dogs?
I look like my dog.
You look like your dog?
I do look like my dog a little bit. Look. He's a little bit dumber than I am, but I'm going to say yes. What do you think, Jacob?
Yes, yes.
You ever seen Lady and the Tramp?
Lady and the Tramp. They look exactly alike, but they're both dogs, I think. Well, okay, that's pretty good. You actually won. You could quit right now, or you could... what kind of dog do you have?
He's a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yeah, you look a little Rhodesian Ridgeback. What?
I'm just chuckling over here.
Let's go for the mother load.
Let's go for the mother load.
Already with the mother load he wants.
I like your way of thinking.
This will all end up at the church, I know. Okay, so what's left then?
Current events, people, or places.
Okay. Jacob, what do you think? Current events, people, kind of. Okay.
People.
Who tilts their head more in a selfie? Men, women, or dogs? Ridgebacks, I think we're referring to here.
Women.
Women?
No, really? I think so, yeah.
How do you know that, Jacob, at your early age?
I just know.
You just know? Are there some things you just know?
Yep.
And that's one of them, okay.
I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to say women.
Yes, women, and dogs do too. My dog is always... But you can't really call that a selfie, I guess, because he didn't take it. Okay!
Jennifer, you can get in the mood for tomorrow's Academy Awards with Seth Graham Smith's How to Survive a Horror Movie from Quirk Books, along with Mike and Vicki Walker's Cinemental Journeys, an uncommon guide to classic movie theaters in Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa from How High the Moon Publishing. And then take your favorite libation with you in a travel mug from Big Top Chautauqua. Keep warm wearing an athletic sweatshirt from Kenosha News. Relish acerbic controversial wordplay in Ambrose Bierce's The Unabridged Devil's Dictionary from the University of Georgia Press. And revel in Russian music created before the advent of the evil empire on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff with Cyrillic Free liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Jacob, you've won the pride of coin collections with the exclusive premium minted What Do You Know Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter featuring the immortal epithet E Pluribus Punem. Then keep traditionally clean with a bar of lemony fresh handmade lye soap from Old World, Wisconsin. Feel secure with your keys on a Kissel keychain from the Wisconsin Automotive Museum. Rock out with Flatfoot on the CD Wild Was Our Mercy. And tickle your intellectual funny bone playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including questions, contestants, audience, and the irrepressible Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both.
Jennifer.
Thank you.
See you at the game. Jacob, hang out. Make sure you get all that stuff and get your address. Thanks for playing. You did a great job.
Does the bobblehead have the goatee?
Have a goatee? I don't know. Does the bobblehead have a goatee?
That's a good question. I really haven't looked at it too closely recently. I will check that out and let you know. Otherwise, we'll draw one on for you.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay.
Hey, Peoria, What Do You Know fans, Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods on Saturday, March 22nd. You can come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be part of the show. Tickets for the special broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
Thank you, Sarah. And speaking of Sarah.
Yes.
This time, some weeks, not others, we honor a town, a village, a burg, what have you, on our Town of the Week.
Yes.
With it. Sarah Nix.
Yes, our town of the week is Box Elder, South Dakota, which straddles Meade and Pennington counties on the eastern edge of the Black Hills National Forest. It's a pretty young town. The post office was founded on June 22, 1907, but the town itself wasn't incorporated until 1964. Oh. About 8,000 people live there these days. In 1972, a flash flood through the area washed out homes and businesses, and hundreds of people in the region died in the flood. The Ellsworth Air Force Base was established in what is now Box Elder in 1941. It was a training base for B-17 bomber crews during World War II. Oh. Since then, it's been the base for the 28th Bombardment Wing, flying B-29 Super Fortresses, as well as the 34th and 99th Bomb Squadrons. Yeah. Box Elder is home to the South Dakota Air and Space Museum, and visitors can check out historical missiles and airplanes there. Every Friday, the Box Elder Community Theater has a free Friday night movie showing. More sports-minded visitors can watch the Douglas High Patriots play. And that is our Town of the Week, Box Elder, South Dakota.
All right. Yep, Ellsworth Base is still operational.
It is, yep.
So it's really more like Bomb Elder.
Bomb Elder.
Bomber
that's right.
Elder.
That's right. I would presume that is the major employer there.
The base?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks.
Seems logical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're calling out randomly right now. Lyle is. Just a bunch of numbers, strings of numbers, random numbers, probably not even the area code we're looking for. But he's very good at generating random numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good at getting people to answer. And he's doing that right now. And he's very personable, Lyle Anderson.
He is.
You met Lyle? Lyle Anderson, the guy. If you call a show here, you get Lyle Anderson no matter what you're trying to do. Or who you're trying to get. Anyhow, and he's on the phone right now, and he's just calling out there. And it looks like he's talking with someone. We cannot. It's a glass soundproof booth. But he seems to be having a conversation. Now he's writing something down on what appears to be a pad or the top of the table itself. He's speaking with the engineers now about the plausibility of something or whatever. There was a question. Now he's back to writing other. I don't think it's related to the show.
I don't think they know what we're doing on here. I think they got to turn us
turned
down.
He's writing something. Does he know that we're looking for Town of the Week?
Oh, he's probably talking to Jacob and getting Jacob's address.
Oh, Jacob. Yeah, that's probably still.
Gosh, he's a couple steps behind us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got to clean up the
Box Elder,
Jacob
South Dakota, straddles Meade and Pennington counties.
Yeah. Thank you. Still?
Yeah, apparently.
Still straddling.
Yeah.
Okay. And because is Lyle still working for us? Or did he retire? Because I know he's got about 6 or 7 jobs. Maybe this one has had to go.
Word from inside the booth is that he's frantically dialing.
Frantically? He doesn't. He's not frantic.
Does he look frantic at all? No,
he's talking with Aubrey.
He's never frantic.
And Aubrey is smiling. You know Aubrey. He's not serious about
Aubrey's
anything.
Probably giggling.
Yeah,
right now.
Aubrey's waving. Hi, Aubrey. Aubrey, could you ask Lyle what he's doing in there, if he's trying to get someone on the phone or...
He's making a sandwich, Aubrey says.
Yeah, he looks like he's entering some data now into my...
I think he's changing his car insurance. He's doing. Saving a little money.
Lyle, I hate to ask you, and I don't want to disturb you or anything, but is there someone on there now?
I think he may be... Lyle?
The Air and Space Museum is closed January and February, and they said they're open on March 1st, but I just get a recording.
Can you call some regular people in their homes?
Jace Waldman, the number is disconnected.
This is not working out like it used to. I mean, at one disconnected number in a base, Air Force base or something that's closed.
And last week, nobody agreed to talk to us.
There's no Feldmans in Box Elder.
Yeah, I know. Feldman, well, there must be a diner or a beauty shop or something on the base.
Adam finds none.
Huh.
Adam Fine? Oh, Adam, our Adam. Okay.
Yeah, Adam's looking on
what is he looking at?
On the web.
Oh, the webs. Oh. The internets, and there's nothing there. People living around there, Box Elder, or what's nearby there?
It's close to the Black Hills.
Well, what's the next county that straddles?
There's Meade and Pennington counties.
Yeah, have you tried Meade and Pennington counties?
No.
Must be something that's open in one of those counties. You know, what I like about Lyle is he never panics in these situations. Because it's not his career, it's going down to two.
That's right.
He's got lots of job options.
Church or a bar?
He plays the carillon on campus here, so he always has something to fall back on, you know. So you kids out there, learn the carillon, because then you'll always have something when the radio show goes under.
Well, while we're waiting for Lyle to find somebody, we can talk about Peoria, where I've never been.
Peoria, it's going to be fun.
Well, it's not actually Peoria we're going to, though.
Well, Washington.
Washington, Illinois, yeah. Yeah. I don't know why we it's keep, as good keep as Peoria. Saying Peoria, but yeah.
That's where, well, the, that's where the tornadoes are.
It is Peoria.
Are,
oh.
Right? Yeah.
What tornadoes?
No, never mind that.
Oh, that's...
Hey. Try to promote this show. It's tornadoes.
So we're going to be there on March 22nd.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Going to be great.
No, there are a bunch
good
of guests.
Time for all.
Word from the booth is that Lyle may have found somebody in Box Elder.
He looks like he's actually stirred up the pot there.
Yeah.
On your line one.
Okay, we have someone from Box Elder, South Dakota. Dee Waltman is online with us right now. Hi, Dee, how are you? Riley Waltman. Hi, Riley, how are you?
Did you press the button?
I pressed the button.
Oh. Maybe try again.
Riley? Riley Waltman? Hi, Riley. How are you? Yes, that's right. I'm Michael Feldman from the Michael Feldman's What Do You Know show here on radio here, public radio. Hi, Riley. Oh, here he is. We got him now, I think. What happened? A little confusion? And... Okay.
We tried.
All right. Did we have him for a while there?
Lyle's not listening.
Yeah. No. Is this him now?
I think he just hung up. I think he thought it was a joke.
It is, really. And that's our Town of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Box Elder, South Dakota. Look, we got to do something better with this.
We got to rearrange the map.
We got to rearrange the map something, or our personnel. We should rearrange our personnel, I think.
But do take note, we will be in Peoria or Washington, Illinois, whatever you call it, on March 22nd.
Okay. Oh, well. So close.
Next Madison outing, you can bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing and get your tickets today. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our inestimable, is that a word? Yeah. Producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thanks for coming, y'all. Thanks for listening, y'all. Talk to you next week. Box Elder, anyone here from Box Elder?
PRI, Public Radio International.